B-Pod Studios.
Who better to talk to here straight up at 9 o'clock on 97.5 The Fanatic about the NFL than the great, a great gentleman of the business, a great reporter, Chris Mortensen, joining us right now. Chris, good morning, sir.
Good morning to you guys.
It is my absolute pleasure to talk to you, sir. And I know Patrick Mahomes is a lead story going into yesterday. Here in Philadelphia, we're a little taken back by what happened with DeSean Jackson last night. Has this hit the mainstream media yet?
No, yeah, I'll be honest with you. I actually was just reading the story just before we came on here. So, I guess it has not necessarily hit the mainstream media, whatever the mainstream media is these days.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But no. The answer is no. I don't think it's garnered the attention. I mean, when the Patriots. Were nailed for their latest folly with the Cincinnati Bengals. It didn't quite get much play because they had Cam Newton
right
news overshadowing it, and that happens. And that's Patrick Mahomes is going to carry the news day for a while, I think.
It certainly seems like nationally speaking. And while we're on that subject, how much do you think that will elevate the quarterback market, especially for guys like Dak Prescott with the Dallas Cowboys? I don't see it, being close to the $450 million range, the Patrick Mahomes range, but how much do you think it will affect other quarterback contracts coming up?
Well, this is going to be an interesting contract to discuss going for a few years, because I've had a couple of team executives who said this is a pretty good deal for the Chiefs. This is a team-friendly deal. Think about those words.
Yeah, right.
In other words, this is not a Mike Trout or even a Bryce Harper deal who have fully guaranteed contracts. This contract is guaranteed at signing is, $63 million guaranteed at signing. The total fully guaranteed money, once they trigger something next year, is going to be like $140 million. It's a 12-year deal. When you're Patrick Mahomes, you're in your third year in the league, and you've been the league MVP 1 year and the Super Bowl MVP the third year. When you break this contract down, what's it going to be like in 5 or 6 years? And I have talked to enough people to say this is a deal the Chiefs can more than live with, and actually there's a reason they went out and ordered 6 bottles of Dom Perignon. You got a deal done with probably the best player in the league,
mm-hmm.
And it's a deal that's going to allow them to take care of their players like Chris Jones, and there's some decisions that are going to have to be made, when he's 6-7 years down the road. I guess what I'm saying is, we always get caught up in the big numbers, and it's fun. It is. But we should always remember these deals are not fully guaranteed. And for Patrick Mahomes, listen, Dak Prescott, technically, I don't think Jerry Jones, he's going to get a 10-year deal. Although Jerry likes long-term deals. He did it to Tyron Smith, their tackle. I think the agent for Dak Prescott probably would say no thanks. If they just play this franchise tag game, they're going to average $45 million in a couple of years, fully guaranteed. So I'm not trying to downplay it. It's a fun contract. I think the Chiefs did a great job of getting them tied down, but that's a lot of years, 12 years to give up.
Yeah.
When the salary cap is going to be soaring. So I imagine somewhere midway through this deal, Patrick Mahomes is going to want to renegotiate.
I didn't even think about the renegotiating part. Here in Philadelphia, as we speak with Chris Mortensen, we look at a guy like Carson Wentz, who before last year signed a guaranteed deal of about $107.9 million, $900,000 more than what Russell Wilson was guaranteed. So this means in about, a year, Carson Wentz will basically be playing for free in comparison to Patrick Mahomes?
Well, except that, when you talk about guaranteed money, you got to talk about fully guaranteed money.
Right.
I think Carson's was in the $64-66 million range. Same thing with Goff and all those other contracts. You really have to talk about fully guaranteed. But listen, he's making good money. That's This is what happens. But when if he stays healthy and plays at the level we think he's going to play, his next contract is going to be pretty significant. So I think that those guys are happy. Lamar Jackson's got to be happy, because he just won a league MVP. He's got a heck of a team around him. If he should manage to win a Super Bowl, he's going to sign a similar type contract if his agent wants him to. I know some agents who would not do this deal.
Chris, you just mentioned the Ravens, and my question to you was going to be, with this Patrick Mahomes signing, is there a kind of a dynasty switch in your eyes where, you know, Tom Brady obviously left New England, that dynasty appears to be over, this signing starts a new one with that young team in Kansas City?
Well, it's possible. I mean, and we you measure a dynasty over quite a number of years. So,
right.
I know this much. Somebody told me last night, they said, this allows them, the first 3 years of this deal especially, will allow them to go out and win some more Super Bowls. Meaning that they can get Chris Jones done, the contract done on Chris Jones, because, I mean, he only got a $10 million signing bonus, Mahomes did. So there's a lot of, and the base salaries are really, even with the roster bonuses that will trigger at some point, really allow the Chiefs to get some business done with young players and keep those players. But, you know, doing what the Patriots did is not easy. But certainly, let's just talk about this year with the uncertainties of the COVID-19 and say we have a shortened season or whatever. But, I mean, you know, the teams who have their core base intact are going to have an advantage because young players are unlikely to make a great contribution this year. So Chiefs are one of those teams. Ravens are one of those teams. Eagles, in many ways, are one of those teams, are they not?
Yeah, we certainly think so here in Philadelphia. Chris, you've been speaking with Chris Mortensen, ESPN. You've been covering the NFL forever. And did you ever think that you would see a football player's name atop the charts for all sports in terms of the highest paid, largest total value of a single contract? I mean, Patrick Mahomes is going to out-earn, if everything comes to fruition here, more than Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Giancarlo, you know, baseball players with no salary cap. Did you ever think a football player would be at the top of that list?
Well, yeah, I did. Near the end of last year, I thought it would be Patrick Mahomes. We talked about him averaging, you know, it was explained to me for him to get to a 40 million average, you know, he would have to sign a contract like this, and talked about it, I think, on Super Bowl weekend. But it's not Mike Trout's contract. It's not Bryce Harper's contract. Those are fully guaranteed dollars.
True.
Every penny of it. So in terms of total value, what can happen, you know, in football, I think when we saw that, you know, where the cap was headed, salary cap was headed, and where the money was headed. Remember, you know, this is an industry that is skyrocketing in terms of total revenues, and the players get a pretty good share of that. I kind of thought this was coming. I think that, you know, I think Tim Hasselbeck might have said this today, this morning. He thinks, and I don't doubt him, that there may be a quarterback making $80 million a year by 2030.
Wow.
And that's what we've always wondered is, you know, listen, Peyton Manning in 2010 made total guaranteed $14 million a year in 2010. So what would he have been worth, you know, with the revenues and the cap going up? So, yeah, I mean, it's about time. Of course, quarterbacks are going to get the top money. And when you're a guy, like I said, who's in 3 years, you sat out the first year, second year, you're the league MVP, and the third year, you win a Super Bowl, and you're the Super Bowl MVP. That's the formula.
Chris, talking about the possibility of what may happen should the NFL have this season, I've been of the thinking that each team has to host a preseason game just to have a walkthrough and see what it's like and see what they have to do. A, do you think that will happen? And B, how do you feel about a season going forward and getting through okay?
Well, I feel fine about it, but I'm not the one that has to be exposed to everything. So, listen, I think that I think there are still issues that the league is working out with the NFL Players Association. A lot of it has to do with money. There's no force majeure clause in the collective bargaining agreement that was signed, was signed in March, and so that just means that technically players can get paid, but the revenues for next year's cap could be impacted.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a lot of talks that are going on. If you're not willing to take some risk as a player, we're likely to see some players drop out. And let's face it, this thing has been ever changing. What we were talking a few months ago, well, wait until we get to summer, the numbers will go down, and certainly fatalities are going down, but. You know, this is a disease, as Dr. Anthony Fauci has said. Doesn't have a lot of predictability to it. And I think the NFL is going to do a really good job in their testing protocols. What about the contact tracing? You probably read that in a player conference call last week that Philip Rivers asked this question. What if a player should get this during the Super Bowl week? Without saying it, it means surely you're not going to make him miss that game. Oh yeah, you are. You're going to miss that game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to give definitive answers. I'm fairly optimistic. Training camp, we know that the players don't want to have a full training camp or a full preseason. I'd mm-hmm. say, and I'll be a little surprised if we have a full, two games of preseason, and that's what the players want. The players want those two games wiped out, but the coaches certainly want more. I talked to a coach yesterday who was pretty irritated, and wants this thing to get on and play. And basically, players. You take a risk playing this game, period. But this is a different deal. These
right.
people who are taking it home to their folks or their kids. I mean, there's a lot of decisions that got to be made that make me uncomfortable talking about them.
Speaking of Chris Mortensen, ESPN, when it's all said and done, you say it's just too fluid a situation to try to predict whether or not we will have a preseason and whether or not we'll have fans at games during the regular season?
I think you did a great job of explaining my answer than I did. but I actually think we will have fans. If we're playing, I think that at least two-thirds of the teams will have some fan presence at games.
Okay.
I do believe that.
All right. Now, we're trying to always, as we do here in Philadelphia, you'd assume, we're always trying to compare the Eagles to what else is going on in the NFC East. Eagles right. have the one head coach that's been here through it all. They didn't make a coaching change this offseason. How much of an advantage do you think that would be for the Eagles when every other team in the NFC East has hired a new head coach?
I think it's a big advantage. I talked about it earlier. I mean, you were talking about core veteran teams that are together. And now it also includes the coaching staff. So the Eagles, especially with Doug Peterson, and I know there were some changes. They've got a leg up on this thing. I mean, and there's some talented teams in the division. I know the records last year wouldn't necessarily suggest that, but what Carson Wentz did that last month of the season was terrific. It was almost legendary, really, what he did with the players he had. And how he carried them to the NFC East title. It's a good division, but yeah, advantage Eagles. I mean, if you're picking right now, I'm picking Philadelphia.
And then finally, the acquisitions made over the offseason, not just through the draft, obviously, but bringing in Darius Slay, bringing in Javon Hargrave, bringing in some other corners, Nickell Robey-Coleman, for instance. How good a job, or do you think Howie Roseman did a good job this offseason?
Yeah, Howie did a real good job. He's got a good personnel staff, too. I mean, Howie gets the credit. He'll tell you this when things go well, but they've got a heck of a personnel department, and they've done a good job with it. And so it's really now it's a matter of now the new guys. Darius Slay's going to be fine. I mean, he's a heck of a player, but just as far as the rookie class, I think you need to wait until mid-season if we're playing truly a regular season. Week in, week out, before you should expect anything from those guys.
Okay.
Because it's too difficult. I mean, there's been no off season.
Yeah.
There's been no camp. And I realize colleges play their season without having all that without having the training camp, but they spent a lot of time on the field in spring, and so I would say this is the young guys. It's going to be tough. The veteran guys are veterans.
All right, Chris Mortensen, ESPN. Always great catching up with you, man. Thanks so much for coming on with us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.